This is the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com radio.
Left foot forward for the quarterback, takes the snap, retreats in the pocket, under a rush, throws across the middle, touchdown, Rob Gronkowski, he spikes with emphasis.
The Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart is your source for the latest news and reaction following every Patriots game.
Smith from the gun, under pressure, across the middle, that pass to the near side, picked off, a juggling interception, and it's the rookie Logan Ryan on the run, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5, into the end zone, touchdown, Patriots!
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500, or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Shotgun snap to Taylor, eludes him, and careens into the end zone, and Chandler Jones picks it up, and Chandler Jones has a touchdown.
Now, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com. I'm Mark Bertrand. I'll be joined momentarily by both Paul Perillo and Andy Hart after a Patriots win at Gillette Stadium today. 41-13 is your final score. The Patriots are AFC East champions after moving to 11-3 with the win today. They remain a perfect 7-0 at home on the season. And so with the win today, they move the Dolphins to 7-7 on the year. They fall to 7-7 and 4-4 on the road. Patriots winners, Patriots AFC East champions. And so for that, they will get a hat and they will get a T-shirt. One of the keys to the game that was laid out earlier today by, I believe, Paul Perillo laid that one out.
No, just make sure you get the right size.
Yeah, just make sure you get the right size is what you were going for there.
Which, had the game started at halftime, was accurate. Had the game include the first half, the sizing of the hats was not really all that relevant. The playing some decent football was relevant. By the way, you got someplace you need to be? The game just ended, and you're like midway through the first segment of the show.
Well, the program begins as soon as the final horn is sounded. As the final gun goes off, we begin the program. Andy, I'm sorry that you can't make it on time.
The program begins when I say it begins.
Yeah, I'm sorry that you couldn't make it on time today.
Just random flavor of the event day. I'm pretty sure Mike Tannenbaum is hanging outside our door. Former Jets GM.
At the half that you mentioned. It was 14-13 Patriots at the half. I don't think that score was indicative of how the first half went. I mean, I should say this. The Dolphins seemed to get in their own way for that entire first half.
Right, except that they controlled the ball.
Dolphins controlled the whole first half.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though, but they should have been leading. That's what I'm saying. Patriots were up at the half, and they were lucky to be leading at the half because the way the first half had gone, the Dolphins should have been leading this game. They were shooting themselves in the foot. They were getting in their own way in that first half.
Dominated time of possession, had a field goal blocked. So as I said to Paul, it was the worst kind of football math. They took a field goal and turned it into 7 points for the other team.
Yeah, I mean it wasn't like a bomb for a field goal. That sometimes they're low. It was a bad kick, and instead of being right in the game in the third quarter, they were out of it quickly once the Patriots got going offensively.
Once Brady finally started hitting Gronk.
In a lot of ways, I thought it was the opposite of last week's game. I thought the Patriots really controlled the first half last week in San Diego and yet found themselves trailing 14-13 because of the red zone pick by Brady and the fumble that was returned for a touchdown, Brandon LaFell fumble. So all of a sudden, San Diego, I didn't think really deserved to have the lead. I thought the Patriots controlled the game. Well, today, I thought the Patriots were a little fortunate to have the lead, and then in the third quarter they showed up and did
the exact opposite of what they did last week.
Franchise record of 24 points in the third quarter, most points they've ever scored in the third quarter.
And last week in the third quarter they went 4 straight 3-and-outs, and this week they went 4 straight scoring drives, including 3 touchdowns, and really have filled in the gap in the Dolphins. Had outscored opponents like 130-50 in the third quarter. The Patriots single-handedly tried to close that gap.
Well, you could say the Dolphins outscored, at least how many did they give him in the third quarter? just like a comedy of errors for Miami.
Oh, yeah.
Drop touchdowns, picks that allowed the Patriots to take over deep in Miami territory. Just a total collapse. I thought what happened in the third quarter would happen a lot earlier in this game. I missed it. It's not what I thought. And the way the game unfolded is not how I thought it was going to unfold. But the third quarter was something along the lines of what I was expecting.
And as Paul said prior to the game, look for there to be turnovers. Look for there to be big plays made on defense. So we had turnovers in this game. We saw that right out of the gate, Paul. I mean, you started this game. Miami had a 50-yard pass to Mike Wallace. couple of short plays later, they're setting up for a 41-yard field goal try, which was then blocked and run back for a touchdown by Kyle Arrington, a 62-yard touchdown run to put the Patriots on the board. And as you said, right out of the gate, Miami managed to take a drive, and it obviously was one big play that allowed that drive to happen. Turn a big play early in the game, have a little bit of momentum. Okay, they get stopped and they got to take the field goal. They turn what should have been a field goal for them into a touchdown for the Patriots on their opening drive.
And that was the story of the first half. They had a nice play by that, what's his name, Paul? Trunkin? Jernigan? Some, I don't know, some weird name I never heard of. Been in the league for 8 years. But he has that interception on Brady. You're making plays, and yet you're not doing anything with them. Yeah,
Jerry Trusnik.
Trusnik. Yep. Yeah, like Paul pretends he knows his household name, Jerry Trusnik. But yeah,
he was just giving him the name.
Suck. Andy. Because this blowout is going to overshadow some things. You know, how pissy everybody was in the first half at Josh McDaniels. You know, a team that had given up 660 yards rushing. And when do we see LeGarrette Blount? The third drive, I think. You know, just another week where you set yourself up for some criticisms. Brady was, as Chris Ferreira calls him, bad Brady in the first half. Was off a little bit, missing throws, bouncing throws, batted balls.
It looked like he was rushing things when he had time to throw. He missed some throws, which led to, of course, a bunch of jokes on social media about, yeah. Oh, why don't you have some more avocado ice cream? Was there not enough, you know, not enough kale on that pass for
I
you?
Used not enough caca on the deep ball to Rob Gronkowski where he missed him.
So let's get to the good, the bad, and the injured from this one.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
On the Patriots postgame show.
It's time for the good, the bad, and the injured from this Patriots win over the Dolphins, 41-13, the final score. Here on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. What's at the top of your good list from this one, Andy?
Well, I'm going to start mine simply a little bit biased because I talked about wanting to stop the run, and they stopped the run. They kept Lamar Miller in check. I don't know what he finished exactly with, but it was under 3 yards
40,
a carry.
47 yards. He averaged 2.9 yards a carry in the game.
A guy coming in who had averaged 4.8 for the season, a team that had rushed for a $1.91 on you the first time. They had gotten Mike Pouncey back, one of the best players in the National Football League, and I thought Vince Wilfork and company, Dante Hightower returned. I thought they, you know, kept them from getting the ground game going.
The total yardage for the Dolphins on the ground, 76 yards today on 23 carries for the Dolphins.
A little bit of that was Tannehill running. So
Tannehill himself had 21 of those 76 yards.
The only thing about those is those are designed runs.
No, I know.
It's not like,
I know,
like the Brady scramble I would eliminate from the run defense. That's not a run defense play.
I think you can now say they have a run defense. They rotated guys through again. Solinga's out there. You get a little Allen Branch, a little Chris Jones. I think you can start
honestly,
a run defense.
I honestly haven't been concerned about that for a long time.
I haven't been concerned, but I haven't been sold. I'm getting to the point where I'm sold on the run defense.
I would say before you get to that in terms of what they did in the game, stopping the run, just the fact that both Dante Hightower and Chandler Jones were on the field today, top of my good list among everything else, if you're looking big picture, the fact that those guys were out there playing and looked like themselves when they were playing, I think is a huge plus.
And that was one that I suggested to Andy. Andy does the stock watch after the game. We were kind of going over some guys. I thought those two guys, yes, when you throw in the fact that they're both even on the field in the first place, but they both played well. Chandler Jones was active. He hasn't been out there in, what, 7 weeks, 8 weeks?
And it looked like he didn't miss a beat.
Wrong on playing 20 snaps, 20% of the game. He played three-quarters of the game or whatever.
He played a lot, and the Hightower impact plays. Andy talked about the run defense. Hightower breaking into the backfield on a couple of occasions for big plays, for big losses. But that one was like a second and two, and it turned it into a third and eight.
And not only that, I mean, you see guys go unblocked at times where they miss, or they in an arm tackle, or they give the guy a chance to get back to the line of scrimmage. And you know how they're really generous with those? If you're not really for a loss, they'll kind of give you the line of scrimmage again.
Yep.
He made it so there was no place for
Miller
to go.
That was a 5 or 6 yard loss.
Right, that was a great play. Unblocked.
So those two guys, I agree with you, Beetle. That was a really good development to see those two guys not only playing, but playing well.
I'm going to go with my usual, Rob Gronkowski. I think
can't believe it's been this long.
With three catches for 90-something yards and a touchdown. The only reason he didn't have about another 100 yards and two more touchdowns is because Tom Brady missed him on throws. That deep ball, I mean, I know you said, whoa, Cortland Finnegan, guys get behind him. But still, Cortland Finnegan's a corner, and Rob Gronkowski is a massive tight end. And he was essentially wide open behind Cortland Finnegan, and Brady underthrew it. If he leads him, that might be a bomb touchdown. At the very least, it's a huge play.
Yeah, because he's going to be hard to take down in the right. open field. If he caught that ball in stride, it's going to be hard for a defensive back chasing him to get him to the ground.
You know, the first play of the second half, boom, to Gronk for whatever it was, 34 yards, little quick. Okay, this isn't the first half anymore. We're moving the football. We're making plays here. I thought Gronk was open enough to have a much bigger day than he had, and he still, it's typical Gronk. You know, and a lot of tight ends would take three catches, 96 yards, and a touchdown. Like, that's a really good day. And for Gronk, it's like, yeah, he looks okay. Missed a few chances.
It's unbelievable. The love affair is just unbelievable.
I'm sorry, I like talent, Paul.
Do you know the Cleveland Browns had 107 yards of total offense today?
See? And Gronk had 90-something.
That's unreal. There was a lot there was a lot to like about what they ended up accomplishing today. Like, the playmaking act, I don't know if this is an individual good, but just the playmaking element that developed on defense, been developing on defense. They gave up some plays today. They weren't quite as sharp, I didn't think, especially early in the game as they have been. But The defense. The early in the second half, third down and less than a yard. After the Patriots score to make it 21-13, you know, Miami's moved the ball all day. Third and less than a yard, they come up with a stop. Lamar Miller gets stopped. It was like third and two, and they get stopped for a yard to make it fourth down. That's a big play, you know, the middle of that defense. I thought the overthrow and Daron Harmon, okay, it was an interception. He was just kind of playing center field. But, Beadle, the 60-yard return, that was a nice return. That doesn't just make it a turnover. It sets you up for seven because you put them at the 8-yard line. You're going in for seven there. So, the overall playmaking element. And then obviously the game got out of hand late and you started getting some pressure and some sacks. Chandler Jones had a strip sack. The turnovers today created a lot of, I think, the 21 points basically the defense and special teams scored today for the offense. And the offense is good enough to score on its own. So just the overall playmaking element of defense.
And the fumble had returned. They had been since week 8, I believe they had 8 forced fumble recoveries in the first 8 weeks and hadn't had one since. And the ability to get the ball on the ground a little more often. Because I thought that was not a growing concern, but this defense, more often than not when it's at its best, turnovers are involved, which I guess is the case with any defense. But right. The turnovers had sort of dried up a little bit of late. And to see the balls loose and the interceptions, that's a good sign moving forward.
Any other goods you want to throw in?
Goods. I feel like I have to because of Fred Kirsch. Jonas Gray got back out there and ran the ball well late.
Hashtag Gray is better.
Yeah, for today.
No, but we should acknowledge it. And it's funny because another guy, I'm opening up my statistics here, that I'm guessing ended up with decent statistics is one Julian Edelman, and yet I didn't think he played all that well.
I thought he did a good job of breaking tackles. During the course of the game, he didn't get tackled easily, but
why is the game book not up?
The only thing, I mean, he had a bad drop. What else did he do?
I thought he fought the ball all day. I thought every catch he made, he double caught, kind of caught funny, and yeah. I thought it hurt him. I thought he looked horrific.
I agree with you. I don't think it was, you know.
But I think he probably ended.
Statistically, it looked like it was, you know, at the beginning of the game, Andy and I were, you know, well, it's an Edelman day. It was just like they were just throwing the ball to Edelman every play.
Burger time, hashtag.
Burger time, okay. I don't know what he ended up with for numbers, but it was clear that they were trying to get the ball.
7 for 88.
Yeah.
Including a long of 31 and a touchdown. I thought he didn't play as well as those numbers would indicate. But a win is a win and a production is a production.
A win is a win. This one getting in the AFC East title once again.
Indeed.
And
it's hard to, you know, when you look at a game like that, they won so easily on the scoreboard, but you accurately pointed out, Beadle, that it wasn't necessarily the way it got there. It ended up there, but the way you got there wasn't necessarily the way you would have expected.
And kind of a flip-flop of the opener where they had the lead based on a first half 20-10 and then never scored again. This one they kind of struggled and then blew them the bleep out. Really escalated.
Did. Bad. What do you got?
You're always looking for the bad.
Well, I'm looking to move it along here, Andy. You know, we don't have all day to get.
I'm sorry. I like to talk about the good. I feel like, you know,
I'm
going to
put the coaching in the bad, and I'm going to say this.
Calling him out.
To start the game with Malcolm Butler as one of your starters,
who you
love, and then ask him to cover Mike Wallace, to me was not a wise choice.
You're not setting him up to succeed when you do that.
And you know, I think Malcolm Butler is a promising young cornerback who I think you can use as a depth cover guy. You know, maybe if you want to get Rishard Matthews someone to cover him, you know, when they go four wides or something like that, I might feel okay with him being part of your game plan. He wasn't part of the game plan. He was the starter in a three-cornerback set. He decided to go with Revis on Jarvis Landry, Browner on Hartline, and Malcolm Butler on Mike Wallace. And I thought, as you put it, Beadle, perfectly, I thought that was setting him up to fail. It didn't work. He gave up a bomb on the first play of the game. He got beat a couple of other times. He gave up a touchdown late in a play that probably was some sort of zone coverage. The last one, Andy, would you say, in the second, late in the half with him and McCourty, probably wasn't just strictly, but
yeah.
Bad awareness in any regard. In between, you know, he realized that it was a mistake because he yanked him early, and then he ended up having to go away from Arrington when Arrington got hurt, and then go to Logan Ryan a little bit, and then he switched it. I thought not just the decision to start Butler was curious, but to not put Revis on Wallace. To me, the only way Miami was going to win that game was doing it the way they did at the start of the game, making some big plays. And I think Revis takes away that big play. If Jarvis Landry wants to average 9-point-something yards a catch and do that underneath, let him do that all day. And I, by the way, I was impressed with Landry today. I thought he was competitive against Revis.
That catch he made was sick. Stuck the one hand out.
I would say that one of the bads for me in terms of coaching was the decision to run three straight times before the half. 40 something seconds to go.
40 seconds left. You know, I don't know.
They deserve to have that touchdown scored on them after that. That's how I felt.
Well, the problem,
like, you get what you ask for there.
See, the problem to me is more execution than anything else. I understand what you're saying, but they were backed up on their own 15 yard line, and they clearly ran the draw. To me, the execution was poor. They run the three plays. They called all three timeouts. Then they let the guy return the punt 32 yards. You can't do that. And then on top of all of that, they still were on the fringes of field goal range, and they allow a bomb for a touchdown.
But, Paul, I look at that situation and I say, you don't want to kick the ball back to Miami. And that's why they're calling those timeouts. Hey, if we can get the ball back, we can return a punt, we can have a long, you know, give us a chance to try something here at the end of the half because we don't have much to lose as the clock's running
down. I know why
they're
calling timeouts, but offensively they did absolutely jack squat in the first half.
Why? I'm just saying, why give them a possession that you don't have to give them?
But because you're probably going to have to
get
give it, and they want to give it to them with as little time left as possible.
I thought that whole sequence was garbage.
It was.
Is what I thought.
It was, but I think it was garbage from an execution standpoint more than anything else.
Well,
I don't necessarily disagree with running the ball.
I'll say it was both. I do disagree with that. That speaks to me to them
getting
too conservative, like letting the situation get to their head, like, oh, we're backed up on our 15. We got to get real conservative here because we have to play afraid to make sure we don't turn it over.
But I think,
like, afraid like that, you're not going to succeed.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of
Look at how it ended up.
I'm not afraid of turning the ball over.
Afraid of turnovers. This is what happens.
I'm not afraid of turning the ball over. I'm afraid of giving enough time for the other team to do something with it.
And they did give them enough time to do something. They did do something with it.
With an incomplete pass, you give them time to Are you going to at least concede that? Allowing a 32 yard touchdown,
yeah, 32 yard punt return,
35 yard touchdown. Then was it to Wallace? It was 30 over 30 yards. That can't happen. That's the part that absolutely cannot happen.
Good players make big plays.
It was a great play. It was horrific execution by the Patriots
all around
in the last 40 seconds.
Bad execution. I'll give you both.
And I understand what you're saying, and I normally am a very aggressive coach at the end of, you know, when I'm thinking the way they're calling plays and stuff, I like to be very aggressive. I try to do the time management stuff, and Andy gets mad at me. I normally like to throw the ball and try to move the ball and get a drive going. I knew they were going to run a draw in the first down, and when it didn't work at all, I was kind of surprised that Miami called timeout there, especially when in the second half they decided they weren't going to try to win the game and they punt on fourth down in less than a blade of grass.
32-yard punt return, 32-yard touchdown. I mean, at the very least there, You figure Miami could be coming away with three, even if they didn't have the long touchdown.
But not without the long punt return, they don't
you're
come away
correct.
With three.
But, hey, when you're punting away.
I mean, you can give them a 10-yard punt return. They're not coming away with three.
When you're punting
because
away.
Because why? Because there wasn't enough time.
A chance to make a play, and that's what they did. They made a play.
They did. Hats off to Miami. Plays. That's the only time in the game they executed was the last 40 seconds of the first half.
The rest of the time it didn't work out so good for them. And that's a serious nitpick considering the final score of this game and the way the Patriots performed in this game in the end, in the second half.
Correct.
And then also what it means for the team is they get another win. And they continue to roll on here as they head to the end of the regular season and get ready for the playoffs and all that good stuff that's coming up. By the way, Dolphins lose today. There was an upset in the AFC East, and that was the Buffalo Bills beating
Did
the Green
they hold
Bay
on
Packers
to win that
today.
Game?
They held on to win that game today. So that's
I should have gone with history. One of the Packers never won in Buffalo. I should have picked the Bills.
21-13, the final in that game. Buffalo
and,
with a win.
And I'm going to contend that that's a bad outcome for your New England Patriots.
Why do you say that?
Because I'm already looking ahead. You know how I do this. I think Seattle's a much better team than Green Bay. And I think now
Seattle.
And now Seattle hosts
now
the
NFC.
Seattle's they're now hosting the NFC Championship game, and there's no way Green Bay's beating them. And I think you have a much better chance of beating Green Bay in the Super Bowl than you do with Seattle. Doesn't mean you can't beat them both.
Ball has Patriots and Seattle in the Super Bowl. Book it early December.
I'm always accused. Andy, he's not alone.
I'm always accused of being the negative guy. I'm telling you, I think the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl. I don't think anyone is winning in this building. So unless the Jets can beat the Patriots, the Super Bowl goes through this building.
I think that's a much harder argument to make today than it was a couple weeks ago. Well, I know that on the scoreboard they blew out the
negative.
Dolphins today. I think if you played a good football team the way you played early, you're either in a dogfight for much longer into the game, or you could lose that game.
Yeah, but you tend to look at things
Do I think the Patriots are the favorite? Yes, because I think they're going to be at home.
In the bad category, Andy?
What?
I know you like to stay positive, but now you're telling us that they play like this today, they're going to lose games.
You play like that against a real football team, I think you have a chance to lose the football game.
I'm not arguing with them on that.
I'm not either.
If they played in that fashion in the first half against a good team that played well, as opposed to a team that shot itself in the foot consistently the way Miami did, you're in trouble. You may be able to win the game because you're a good team, but you're going to be in trouble for a lot longer than you were in trouble. They were never in trouble, and they deserve to be in trouble the way they played.
Just sort of some other things we were talking about, coaching. I think this falls into there. I have some things that I don't necessarily understand, one of which would be the need for Marcus Cannon to play left tackle and Solder to be the extra blocker in some of those short yarded situations. I often say I don't think I care for that. The whole idea of, is Cannon not good enough at it? We saw him struggle a couple weeks ago, so you need somebody better at it, so you move your left tackle. And just the question of, now you know that you're going to have Solder miss a snap at some point for you declaring himself eligible. I'm not sure I like the feel of that whole
I agree with that. And just the, you know, Andy, you touched on this already, but I think it's worth reiterating. Just line up and run the ball against a bad run defense. You know, you come out with Vereen. The first run play, I believe, was the hurry-up-and-fail offense that we've unfortunately grown accustomed to. The next running play is a jet sweep to Edelman. Let's trick him and get the first down that way. Why can't you just line up against a team that allowed 661 rushing yards the last 3 weeks and just pound it down their throat? I don't really understand. But, you know, they won the game and they won it going away, so you know, who knows?
Well, the great Paul Perillo once taught me the end result isn't always, you know, the full story. Sometimes you got to look a little deeper. Brandon Browner, I would put in that questionable category. Another three penalties, some of which I didn't care for. I thought the pass interference was questionable down the left sideline. I thought he earned the first pass interference that he so vehemently
fought.
First
one was ridiculous.
And the really unnecessary one, which is not involved with his physical play as a coverage guy, is the unnecessary roughness. That's a kind of stupid penalty that, had it not got wiped out by a questionable taunting call for basically a guy defending himself, those are the types of penalties, more so than just the illegal contact, that can cost you.
Yeah.
You're losing your cool. That's a totally, you know, the word is right, unnecessary roughness. It's also an unnecessary penalty.
Yeah, way after the whistle, you just spun him around, threw him down into the ground, pile drive. I mean, it was like, check them all off,
right?
All the different things that you can't do. And I agree with your buddy, Beetle, Jim Dalopoulos.
Diopolis, yeah.
He tweeted out, you know, I understand what they were thinking on the taunting call on Gibson there, but you'd like to think that they would come to his defense a little bit before that and not allow it to get to that point, because I don't know. To me, the penalty should supersede something like that. I don't really understand that call at all. And the game was over at that point. So, you know, we're again, nitpicking. But
plus, even a three-year-old knows that sticks and stones or illegal hits will break my bones. But standing over a guy will never hurt me.
He has.
So, like, doesn't that have that feel of, like, it breaks the original rule you learn in life? Like, he actually did something violent, and that's crossed out by a guy standing there.
And he has really taken on that persona of they can't call them all.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Because he just, I mean, the interception by Chung, he buried Lamar Miller before the ball got there, and it didn't matter because I think the referees just look at it and say,
Tow all the cars on the street.
How am I going to call them? And I think the pass, that one of my problems with pass interference is.
Bring enough tow trucks again.
The one they called down the sideline on him, which was probably pass interference. But to me, it's hand fighting. Let that one go. I don't like that call because I don't like the idea behind it. Let that one go. But then a guy gets hit before the ball arrives, and that's the one we are letting go. Like, he completely prevented the opportunity for a guy to make the catch. And then, oh, by the way, the deflection goes in the air and gets picked off to completely end the game. I think it was 24-13 at the time. That made it 31-13.
So, Paul, they're even.
Yeah.
They got one wiped out last week. They got this one this week. They're even.
I think that the idea the hats and T-shirts I'm looking at on TV as I'm talking. And interesting. Patriots run the East is what it says.
Oh, that can't be the official.
I don't know.
I believe it is.
That's the official AFC Championship.
I don't know why they would have them on TV if that's not the one that they're all talking about.
Well, because Burton printed them up and brought them in.
Oh, maybe. He wrote it in.
It's a Nike thing.
Is it?
It's like one of those Nike slogans. You know, they always have slogans on their shirts.
Hashtag stupid.
Yeah, it's kind of a Nike thing from what I understand.
But they're available now, I'm guessing, at the Patriots Pro Shop. Order yours today. 1-800 Pro Shop. Whatever the number is. Don't call that number. I'm not sure that's the number.
1-800
Don't give that out again.
Oh, very
good. We're going to have some idiot that's going to call that and then send in an email. Just so you know, that number goes to Irish porn.
LeGarrette Blunt today I would also put in the bad category.
Yeah,
I thought Gray,
and
we said that Gray was better. We put him in the good. I thought that Gray did a better job of not finding a lot of room to run, but I thought he did a better job of at least getting some yardage. And Blunt, the drawback for him, you know, he sort of runs like Barry Sanders, even though he's a big, huge guy. You kind of saw that pitter-patter today, and he never got going.
Yeah, the problem is his longest run was 5 yards. Those Barry Sanders days look okay when you throw in a 45.
And generally they look okay for Blunt because he throws in a 25.
Oh, yeah, he always does. But when you're just going to have a 5,
not today.
That's how you end up with an average. What was it, 2 and change, Beetle? Or I might have it, I don't know.
Anybody else? I mean, we talked about Butler.
We've touched on most of them. I would also just throw in the injuries as well. Two of them in the game for the Patriots. One was Kyle Arrington. He did not return, was down on the turf for a little bit. Was grabbing his hamstring, and that's what was announced. He did not make a return. Also, Dan Connolly left the game. That happened in the third quarter due to a neck injury. So Dan Connolly was out. He did not return. Kyle Arrington. A couple of things to keep an eye on going forward. I don't think the Arrington one was all that serious. He was down for a while. But
the only thing is he
walk off and looked okay the way he was walking. And
but you can walk with a pulled hamstring. That could be an issue trying to sprint for a while.
Yeah, and the fact that he changed out of his uniform and was on the sidelines in his, civilian clothes in the second half tells me that maybe it was something worth worrying about a little bit.
Hmm. Well, something to monitor going forward for sure with both of those guys. The phone number for you is 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. You can email as well, webradio@patriots.com. We're going to hear from Bill Belichick. We'll hear from Tom Brady as well here on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. Stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to get to your phone calls, get to your emails, and really dig in deep with this game. That's coming up.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No, pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Dominance, the success of the sleeveless hoodie. three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving. Yeah.
Join Mark, Andy, and Paul by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or get in touch with the show via email at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show and your host, Mark the Beetle Bertrand.
Are you going to talk?
Andy, always the professional here on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show.
I thought you were having a wildcat strike over there, just taking the rest of the show off. I'm just going to sulk.
I might. It's 4:45. I feel like going home.
4:45. We're an hour into the show the way you started it.
855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500. I don't know what you were doing. What were you doing upstairs?
We get stuck in the elevator.
Yeah, get stuck in the elevator. Or maybe if you left on time to get down here on time.
We left on time.
For when the game ends,
I need
go
to
on.
See every play because I learned in Buffalo.
We started like a full minute after the game ended.
I learned in Buffalo a long time ago, if you don't see the final play, Teddy Bruschi will call you out at his locker for it.
Well, he's not here anymore, so you don't have to worry about that.
That's a good point.
You have obligations.
You got an obligation.
He would say, do your job.
Get your ass out there and find that bleeping dog.
Let's go to the phones. Let's start with Liam in North Carolina. What's up, Liam?
Go fishing.
Yeah. Starting him young.
Nice job.
Yeah, have my son from Old Patriots Club out there.
What's he been drinking?
I can't say.
Bunch of moonshine down there in North Carolina.
Yeah, there we go. Hey, so it was night and day, first half and second half. And I don't know about you guys, but my only point tonight, you guys have hit on everything else. Personally, I'm a little worried about the playoffs. I don't know about you guys, because it seems to be that
the
last several games have been overthinking themselves. And I don't know. It just kind of worries me that they're going to get into a playoff game where the obvious solution is there and they decide to go with something completely different. Seemed kind of that way the first half of this game. They were able to correct, and it went well tonight, but there's been some games that have been closer losses, and everybody else is kind of scratching their heads going, what's going on? You knew what you needed to do, and they just didn't do it.
Bottom line is they don't want to run the football. Green Bay, 30th in run defense. You don't want to run the football.
They don't trust themselves.
This week, a team that gave up 660 in the last three, they don't really want to run the football, which is fine, but don't keep telling me you want to run the football. Right?
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. That's what I'm worried about. But we'll see what happens in the playoff when the playoff picture comes through. And
Paul's not worried.
Tonight, glad to see it. And, the Bills, I'm surprised they beat Green Bay. I'm not worried about them. I'm just worried about the playoffs, and that's it. Thanks, guys.
Well, Paul's not. Paul's got them in the Super Bowl. The only thing he's worried about is now you might have to face Seattle in the Super Bowl instead of Green Bay. Right?
I would be more concerned with Seattle than Green Bay in the Super Bowl. That is correct. You have accurately...
I'm a little like the caller. I'm a little worried about the playoffs.
So as Paul's putting it...
I'm not as worried about that.
I'm far more worried than I was a couple weeks ago.
I wouldn't be worried at all if I thought the efficiency of the passing game looked better than it has in the last few
games. Well, it hasn't, though.
No, I know that. But
that's part of it.
I feel like...
I got Chris Ferreira texting me left and right every game at some portion of the game saying, bad Brady's back, bad Brady's back.
You're right. They're going to lose.
I don't think I said that either.
Well, I mean, you're insinuating it.
Isn't there something between pencil them in the Super Bowl and they're going to lose? Because that's where I am, somewhere in between.
Well, you either think they're going to lose before the Super Bowl or you don't.
I think they could. I didn't think they could a couple weeks ago. Remember? Coming off that stretch of, took care of Manning, took care of Luck, oh, this and that. Nah,
well, defensively, they continue to take care of all those guys. Right. And that's what has me more excited. Now, today, even though they only allowed 13 points, I don't think they took care of Miami as much as they have.
I agree. But final score is pretty impressive.
But I'm not overly concerned, and I told you this. I'm telling you, it's Seattle now. Seattle's the team in the Super Bowl.
You're sure of this?
Yes, I am.
And so your thing was that for there to be any chance...
Yes, I'm exaggerating to make a point.
Okay. In the course of this game today, kicker Steven Guskowski became the franchise's all-time points leader. 35-yard field goal in the third quarter, passing Adam Vinatieri. And we have him joining us right now on the line here on the Xbox One Patriots post-game show. Congratulations on the record, Steven.
Thank you very much.
Adam was always nicer to us than you are.
That isn't true, actually.
To be honest with you, that's not true. You are have always been very good to PFW.
That's right. Despite what everybody says about you, I think you're a nice guy. how about the AFC title? Checking that one off the list. And what do you think of the T-shirts? A new look to the T-shirts. What, you like them?
The T-shirts are sweet. I mean, some of the ones, they're kind of cheesy. And you don't even get to wear them out in public. But these things are pretty cool. It's never gets old winning. Clutching and bursting in the playoffs. It's like a breath of fresh air. It's a new season. You get to renew your energy, and things can get kind of dreary here in New England in the winter, going outside and it's cold and windy every day, and no leaves on the trees, and nothing like getting into the playoffs. It gives you some more energy.
Steven, obviously you're heavily involved in the special teams being a kicker, and now this is a couple of weeks in a row the special teams comes up with a huge play early in the game on a block kick. This week it's a block field goal. It's got to be rewarding to come up with these kinds of plays. I know how much time and effort you guys spend in those meetings and going over this kind of stuff. A lot of excitement, I would imagine, for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing about being on this team is everyone seems to always pull for each other, whether it's offense, defense, special teams. There's not a lot of like, oh, well, if they would have played better, if they would have played better, we would have won. It's, you know, everyone just is trying to go out there and do their job for one goal. And we have a lot of guys who have a lot of pride in special teams, a lot of very talented guys out there. And, you know, I'm just trying to help score points and help give good kickoffs. And you know, we got a lot of good guys, Slater, Ebner. You know, the list goes on and on. You know, they get free range to block my field goals in practice all the time, so I know we work on it way more than any other team would ever let them just free range try to block kicks. So it's cool to see it pay off. It kind of makes you appreciate it, how hard they work, and when it pays off, it feels really sweet.
When your team is in a dogfight, like it was a little bit early today, 14-13 at halftime, what is your role on the sideline? Do you get nervous? Are you saying things to teammates on both sides of the ball to get them worked up? How do you handle that as a kicker on the sideline?
You know, I'm just focused on what I have to do. And the part of being at my position, I find myself getting too caught up into the game, trying to be a cheerleader and getting excited when we make a big play. I remember, I can't remember, it was like the Colts game, my rookie year. I made like a 48, 49 yarder, big kick, close game. And then we turn around, and I'm all jacked up, and we intercept the ball, and then I miss like a 35-yard field goal. So I told myself after that day, never get too excited, never get too high, get too low. I just kind of stay in my own zone and joke around on the sideline and keep it light. And then when our team crosses the 50, I try to just get in the zone and get ready to go.
You went to the locker room with the lead at halftime today in this game, but obviously the team put up a lot more points in the second half. It looked like a little bit of a different game in that second half. What was the mood of the team at halftime going into the locker room?
Well, it was just, you know, a lot of coaches screaming, yelling. I tried to get out of there as soon as possible, so I didn't get yelled at.
And you, Gostkowski.
Whatever they did worked, and you know, this is just a resilient team, and you know, even though things looked pretty bad at the end of the half, we still had the lead and we had the ball. And when things are in your control and in your hands, it's a lot easier to not be nervous. When you're sitting on the sideline, you have no control over it. That's when the nerves kind of set in.
Steven, we happened to see this week a little bit in the locker room, and then Adam Schefter reported on it today that, you know, maybe Bill used some bulletin board material and had some quotes about, you know, the Dolphins saying they could have put 50 on the board in the opener. How often does he do that, and does that work? Does that resonate in the locker room? Does that give people any extra motivation heading into these type of games?
I mean, it's not hard to get up for division games, and, you know, whatever coach says in the locker room is kind of something that we keep in the locker room. But there's always stuff being said, and we just want to win every game, especially division games. He seems to turn it up a notch on the intensity and the attention to detail when we're playing a division game. And it was just an easy week for everybody to be attentive and pay attention to detail when you know, the division was on the line.
You've been around a long time now. Do you ever talk trash out there?
No. I mean, there might be one to two players on each team that I could even stand a chance in a fight against.
So you don't go over like Caleb Sturgeon, so you call that a field goal attempt?
No, you know, when I played other sports like baseball and soccer, I did. But, you know, I have no room to talk about this. I just try to go out there and do it and make it look like I meant to do it and try to just be seen and not heard, you know.
Aside from what's being said on the other side, just in preparation for this game this week, how much time did you have to spend watching film of the first game of the year against these guys? Did you have to watch that thing on, like, repeat all week?
Yeah, that's one of the things that stinks when you lose to a team. It's always brought back up. And it's tough to see because we don't like to lose. Well, no one likes to lose, period. And, sometimes it's like, man, let it go. But, you know, I guess it resonates in the back of your mind to keep focusing and make sure that something like that doesn't happen again and learn from your mistakes.
All right, well, just remember, every time you make a kick now, you're breaking your own record. So you're just
sweet. You're
just breaking a record every time.
And I'll just go over and start talking smack to anybody.
Nice.
And you'll give us your T-shirts from championships, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, we'll give them to the kids. Yeah.
Just go over to the opposing kicker and say, you see that kick? That's another record-breaking kick right there, kid.
Yeah, you can break a record today.
Excellent.
All right, Steven Guskowski, Steven. Congratulations on the win, congratulations on the record, and congratulations on being an AFC East champion once again. We appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks. Right, take it easy. Steven Guskowski joining us here on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. Every time now, record.
I was joking around at the beginning, and I was definitely being sarcastic. He is one of the nicer guys, especially to us in that locker room.
So when did he come here? 07?
06.
Oh, six.
He's done it in 9 years, and I think it took Adam 10.
No, I was just thinking he's had 1 year where he didn't win the division title.
08, yeah.
So he's been here.
Nine. This is the ninth season, I think.
He's got eight division titles.
10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Yeah, 9 years.
Eight division titles in 9 years. It's a pretty good run he's on. Pretty good percentage he's got. Yeah. No wonder he complains about the various T-shirts. He's got a bunch of them.
He's got a whole closet full of T-shirts.
Seriously, think how many T-shirts a guy like... I mean, they all do, but a guy like that has... Eight of the hats and T-shirts for the AFC title game. I mean, for the AFC East division. He's been to
He's been to two Super Bowls.
Two Super Bowls. So that's two more shirts, sets of shirts. You get
for AFC East.
He's got a lot of flipping
AFC
shirts.
Champions, yeah. He's got about 10 shirts there, right?
And he's embarrassed to wear most of them, and suddenly he likes this one.
And you got to wear. That's a nice one.
Well, then you go with the three sets, too, because you got the division, the conference, and the Super Bowl, and he's been to... Two Super Bowls, too. So.
Tell you what I'd be doing with those.
Well, they didn't win the
Throwing a signature on them and putting them on eBay.
Yeah. But
authentic locker room T-shirt.
Now, you think, what's the number? How many points does he have? Is he going to start signing?
1,160. More than that.
Steven Gostowski, 1,160. Yeah. sign the photos and stuff with that. And then date next
it.
Week,
he should
66.
Sign it, date it, and sell it on eBay.
I'll have to check that out, which one was the one that he actually broke it on.
Good guy. Should have asked him about his contract. Probably not.
It doesn't seem like the appropriate
time.
Not
the time. I was going to ask him, and I thought it wasn't the time for that either. But, you know, he has, like, touchback, kickoff, touchback, touchback, touchback. And then all of a sudden, he kicks a low-line drive. And I'm wondering if they do that on purpose. He mishits it, and then he had one late in the game that went out of bounds. And, you know, it might be something maybe I'll talk to him about. So I can see him, and he knows that I'm not saying, yeah, what was up with that kick out of bounds? Because that's not the way I mean it. I'm wondering, do they try something different for coverage purposes, especially at the end of the game, the game's out of hand? Are they trying to set something up so they can do something in terms of their coverage?
Like that one time when I asked him about the onside kick, remember the short one right up the middle that he recovered?
Cleveland, they recovered.
And I said, look at that. I mean, you make a big play and you only have to tap the ball 9 yards. That went 10.
It went 10.
He got all defensive, and I was like, I'm just kidding. It was a lighthearted joke. We're buddies here. We're cool. He didn't care for it.
I would never call you my buddy, Andy.
Screw you.
our buddy McCabe in Virginia calling back from the pregame. What's up, McCabe?
Hey, guys. First of all, I'm going to say congrats to Steven on breaking that record and the win over the AFC East.
Yeah, no question. Anytime some places, you're the highest scoring kicker or whatever. Ooh, big whoop. But arguably the greatest kicker in the history of the game, a guy who's going to be a Hall of Famer, the records you're breaking.
Definitely, yeah.
Okay.
I have a question first off. What were you guys' original picks for the beginning of the game, like your scores?
Mine was 38-10.
I believe mine was 34-10.
I don't know that I gave a score.
That 38-10, that was mine. I was off by...
You were very close.
You
I
were
remember.
Close. You were close. Although you must not have felt too good about it in the first half.
No.
I hear you, bro. Me either.
When they got that deep touchdown, I got worried.
Yeah.
All right, McCabe. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Malcolm Butler did too.
Yeah.
Saw his Patriots playing time go down the pissa.
Can you say that? Yeah, it's the internet.
Pissa?
Yeah.
You can't say pisser on your station?
It's one of the weird words that I don't believe is allowed.
Now, what if I say pissa, like a New Englander? Is that different than pisser?
It might be.
We don't like pissa?
Nothing with the word... Never mind.
Piss in it?
Yeah, you can't say that.
You can't say you're pissed off?
You can't say... They don't like it.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Pat Nagawal.
We're just discussing the legality of saying piss on the air.
Pat, how are you, bud?
Yeah, I could say piss on the air, can I?
Well, you can say it here. Yep. Anything flies here.
You've heard what Fred says.
Well, tonight I'm not in Ekwam, I'm in Foxborough. I'm tailgating.
Oh, nice!
Nice, there you go. Good job.
Not a bad night out there. Celebrating a victory in decent weather, having a few beers with the pals?
Oh, I'm having a few beers. You know it, Andy.
Nice. I wish I was out there. Next year.
Come
next
on.
Year.
Come on out here and join us.
Next year,
come
we're on. Taking this
Where
show to
Where?
An RV. Well,
Pat, which lot are you in?
I'm in lot 40.
Lot 40. Where's that one? Across the street?
Yeah, it's right across the street.
Yeah.
Nice.
Kind of a walk from
You got
there.
A fire going?
Oh, we got burgers, dogs. We had, I forgot what we got earlier going. You know, I drank a lot of beer, so.
I hear you.
Yeah, you got to forgive me.
You're fatter, drunker, and poorer than when you started the day.
Fatter and drunker, but not poorer, Andy.
Oh, no.
Nice. Oh, all right, Pat.
Got a little something riding on the game there.
A little friendly wager, a couple of units.
What I wanted to say tonight is just seeing this defense live, this defense looks legit live, you know. They swarm to the ball, they hit guys without the ball, with the ball. It's just a beautiful thing. It's something that I haven't seen in about, you know, 9 to 10 years. And
I agree.
Seeing it live, it's a great thing.
And I know people, a lot of people talk about Browner, and he's a part of it, certainly, but I think some of the guys up front in Hightower and Collins, I thought Collins was all over the field today. He had that one bad coverage.
Great tonight.
Yeah,
Collins
he
was an animal tonight.
Chasing Tannehill all over the field. He had a tackle for a loss. Hightower had the tackle for a loss. I think those two guys deserve a lot of credit for what they're doing. Ayers is involved. Jones was back out there. Ninkovich. I think
Once the playoffs start too, Andy, I think you're not going to see a lot of these ticky-tack calls on Browner, and you know, I think they're going to let the boys play, and this is a good physical defense.
Yep.
I mean, seriously, it's something I haven't seen in 9 or 10 years.
And that's why it's the best defense since then. Yes, I think we need to name it. Anybody got a name for this? Legion of Boom. I know that's taken. Anything?
Island of Doom.
Island of Doom. I like it.
I actually was thinking of that last
Revis
week.
Revis is the island.
And
Browner
before
is
anybody
the
makes
doom.
Fun of me, I didn't steal it from anywhere. I don't know if someone had already said it. I'm sure they have because I'm not that clever.
Island of Doom.
Polly, that was good.
Or how about Island of Boom? Island of Doom?
Island of Boom, though.
Boom?
Because he brings the boom from Seattle.
What's the one that Seattle has?
Legion of Boom.
Yeah, that's the only reason why I went with something different.
But
what was that? I missed that, Pat.
I said, if I'm Tom Brady, I'm saying, Paulie, that's
yeah, Paulie, yeah!
And I would say, oh, that one.
Hey, have a good night, guys.
All right, Pat. Thanks, Pat. Week,
have
guys.
One for us.
Designated driver.
Be safe out there.
Designated driver, take the keys to
You're
my
going.
Truck.
You didn't expect that coming.
Did not expect that coming.
That's one of my favorite songs.
That's a long ride back to Agawam. So, please, use the DD. Be safe.
He means designated driver, not just Dunkin' Donuts. That doesn't actually work.
Probably doesn't prevent you from having...
No, you can't be drunk and just drink a coffee.
A DUI.
We do recommend you go have a cup of coffee at Dunkin' Donuts, but we do
yes,
not
but not as
that
a,
as a way to
an antidote
up.
To alcohol.
Correct. That's not how it works. Marcel's in Sweden.
That's not how any of this works.
What's up, Marcel?
Hey, guys. What's up?
What do you think? Legion of Doom or... No. Island of Doom or Island of Boom?
I think Island of Boom is better because Brandon Browner really brings the boom.
That's what and plus he's coming from Seattle and he's bringing a little bit of that style defense with him. You got the island, you got the boom, you got the island of boom.
Yeah, you're really right about that. I got a couple pointers. I want to make it quick because people have been hating on me. I'm kind of boring.
No, and not just that. You're kind of a DB at times was also part of it.
Come on, Andy. Let me at least speak.
Okay.
Anyway. First off, Brady running 17 yards, I mean, that was amazing. Like, he does that, like, every, what?
15 nine, years?
10 years. He did the same thing to Erlach.
Is that the longest run of his career?
Third.
Third longest run of his career?
Third longest.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want him playing LeGarrette Blount and trying to truck guys. Like, run out of bounds.
Couldn't agree with you anymore. He got himself in no man's land because he didn't. I thought for a second he might pull an Elway and dive for the end zone. But then he didn't do that, but he also didn't go out of bounds. He just kind of prepared for the hit and took a big hit for no reason. Bad. Bad.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I still cringe when I see Gronk running over the middle of those seams and getting hit. Like, I still cringe.
I didn't cringe at the hit, but he actually looked a little like maybe he had a thigh bruise. He took a hit right on the thigh. I thought he was sort of not limping, but laboring a little bit. I was a little concerned there. I held my breath for a minute.
Yep. Still love the show, and congrats to the Patriots on their domination of the East.
All right, thanks.
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Arizona, baby.
Yeah. Island of Boom.
Island of Boom.
I think we should put that on the cover and try to get it to stick. If we can get a picture of Revis and Browner from this game, Island of Boom. You like it? Can you try to pitch that on the airwaves?
You know, I think it needs to be on a T-shirt before it's official.
No, but we'll start it, and then somebody will make T-shirts. Maybe LeGarrette Blount. He's got the. He already prints the Blunt Force Trauma T-shirts.
Right.
So maybe he's got a deal. We can do the Legion of. Damn it, Island of Boom.
The Island of Boom,
which is better than the Island of Misfit Toys.
Island of Boom.
That's the Jets.
How do you? What would be a good graphic for an Island of Boom?
I don't know. You can't just have.
Well, I don't think Legion of Boom has a graphic.
Well, like when
you need a graphic for
Revis T-shirts, where it was like Revis Island. There's a picture like of a little island.
Well, if you want, then put Boom on an island. I mean, a bomb exploding on an island.
I'll show you. Just
put a torpedo and an island. I don't know.
See, it's like Revis on an island, little island with a palm tree.
Put.
How do you add the boom?
An explosion, a hit. I don't know. Why do you have to be so damn wet blankety?
I'm just saying.
I think Paul brought a nice thing to the table.
Paul is now singing pop songs.
I know. I think he freaking lost it today.
From various eras.
It's weird. You do midnight shows and he's fine. You're like 4 in the afternoon and he's singing.
Too much. Trey's in Memphis. What up, Trey?
I wasn't fine last week, if you recall. I yawned on air.
Tremphis!
Here we go. Hey, Paul, man, that's a hell of a name, man, that's a hell of a name you came up with, man. I really like that.
All right.
Got some sizzle to it.
Evidently, it has legs.
Now, I just want to be clear. Which are we sticking to? I think we got to pick one and go with it. We don't want to be the Big 12, have Baylor, TCU.
I like Island of Doom. Isn't that what you said?
I don't care if it's Island. Yeah.
I just want to know what I'm
sticking
with.
I wanted to go the opposite of whatever.
Okay, so Island of Doom.
Right. Whatever the Seahawks did, I didn't want to steal the exact words.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you let them have their Legion of Boom and let them have that. I mean, it's like the Island of Doom, man, they got some silver to it. I really like that one, man. That's a good one, Paul, so don't let anybody change them.
Okay. Island of Doom. We're on it. Island of Doom.
Yeah. So it's not Boom, it's Doom? It's
Doom. D-O-O-M.
So we're going with Doom.
Island of Doom. Yeah.
Okay. And then some people.
I don't care. It doesn't matter to me.
And some people.
The island is the thing you're playing
didn't
off.
Didn't somebody used to call Belichick Doom and Gloom?
Gloom.
Oh. No Doom?
He was, Parcells used to call him Gloom.
Oh.
Well, all right, guys, let's get to the game. Paul, I'm with you. They put Malcolm Butler, man, in a tough situation. I mean, you know, you putting them on their fastest receiver. And, I mean, you know, if I'm a quarterback and I'm a coach, I'm definitely going at the rookie over there, who's really haven't proven himself. So I don't know what the hell they were thinking about. I guess they had some kind of brain fart or something before the game started.
Yeah, you gotta need more avocado.
That wasn't a smart move.
Yeah, no, they and that's why Paul put the coaching staff on the bad list today. And you know, it's weird. I think you could argue 3 weeks in a row the coaching staff has been on the bad list. Against Mike McCarthy in Green Bay, you know, you had
definitely
the questionable defensive
Bay.
Calls, certainly. You really didn't care for the runs in San Diego. You drive right down, I mean, the run-pass thing.
I
so
really
you could argue
like,
3 weeks in a row the coaching was a problem, not a benefit.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's accurate to say. I really didn't like the decision to run Blunt down to the one-yard line and set up second and goal from the one and throw the ball twice last week. That really bothered me. So, yeah, you're right.
Let's go to Eldridge in North Carolina. What's up, Eldridge?
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing?
Doing well.
Again, I wish I could have saw the game, but I didn't. Hey, Paul, I came through Miami. Dropping a load.
That's okay. The Dolphins dropped a load in the second half.
Eldridge, I'm going to try to wait until after the show, but I'm probably going to drop a load soon,
oh,
too.
Oh, come on. Paul, what the hell?
Wrong way.
Too far? Did I take that one too far?
There's a line there. There's a line there, and you crossed it.
He's singing. He's talking poop.
Yeah, Tangway over here.
Listen,
now on this
I'm not the one
show.
that's worried about.
Guy's losing his mind.
Oh, come on now.
Wow.
Come on now. I'm not having a midlife crisis.
Oh, I didn't say that.
What?
Oh, I got a question for you, though.
I'm not in midlife.
Okay, I got a question for you. I'm more concerned about us in the playoffs. So, like you said, some bad coaching moves. I've been saying it all year. We got slow corners against fast receivers. We're going to lose every time. But the only team that worries me in the playoffs, it ain't Denver. It ain't the Colts. It's them Ravens. Because, like I said, they done came to our house fully confident. And Peter.
What I would be afraid of Baltimore is the fact that they're not afraid of you.
No, they're not.
And that would worry me a little bit because I really don't think they're afraid of the Patriots or anybody else. Now,
no,
I don't think Baltimore's that good. They're not as good as they were a couple of years ago.
No, definitely not.
They're probably better defensively than they were a couple of years ago, but they're not as good offensively as they were.
That's what I'm talking about. They're better defensively.
They are better defensively than they were in the year they won the Super Bowl, but I think losing Bolden in that offense, I don't think they've really replaced that. And Ray Rice was a great running back then. He's obviously not part of the equation, although Forsett has had a good year for them.
Yeah, very good year. But other than that, man, I'm happy with the win because I like that NFL Patriot app. So I watched the play-by-play while I'm driving a little bit. So I like that. So y'all have a good day, man.
All right, Elden.
Oh, you be careful watching that play-by-play while you're driving.
Staring at that app.
No texting and driving means no watching football on your phone and driving.
Well, be careful with that.
I don't want to read about him.
He should get some satellite radio in that truck.
This week, the Niners decide to show heart.
Oh,
great.
Boy. Let it go.
I can't.
You shouldn't.
Still talking about Ball's knockout defeat last week.
It should be. Hurt. Yeah. Left a mark.
Yeah. Left a mark. Clearly, it hurts.
Tell you what else is leaving a mark.
All right.
I haven't gotten a note yet.
The Microsoft Surface is the official tablet of the NFL. NFL coaches and players across the league use their Surface tablets to influence the next big play call. And with a Surface tablet at home, you can do the same in your fantasy league. Surface, trusted by the NFL, built for the fans. Do more. That's the Surface. The Microsoft Surface, the official tablet of the NFL. 855-PATS-500. That's the phone number for you. Webradio@patriots.com. We're going to sort through some of those emails, get some of those on the air coming up as well. And, of course, we have to hear from both Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. We will do all of this and more coming up on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. Stay tuned.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
The Xbox One Patriots postgame show is your source for immediate locker room reaction following every Patriots game. Hear exclusive live player interviews right from the New England locker room and all of the latest news and notes from the game. Join Mark, Paul, and Andy on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show.
Welcome back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart. A lot of emails on this nickname for the secondary, Paul. One coming in. No, not making fun of you. One says Boom Island. That's a different suggestion. Someone claims that it would Parcells called Belichick Doom back in the 80s.
I believe it was Gloom.
I thought it was Doom and Gloom. I thought there was a Doom aspect to it, but I don't know.
I think Kevin Mannix is the one who told me that they used to call him Gloom. Because he knew he was never smiling.
Yeah. Bear agrees with you that Doom is better than using Boom. So Doom with a D.
We just need to pick one and stick with it.
We
need to unify our front.
Someone else suggesting a Boom Beach. And the email, you open the email and it says, Ahoy the Shippers. How about Boom Beach?
I don't want to swear, but what the bleep does that mean?
I don't know.
We're now out of control.
You started it.
That's all I'm saying.
Designated driver. You started singing in the middle of a show.
Yeah, that got us out of control.
Another one saying the subject line is hold the boom. Hey, guys, great game, but looking ahead, I'm still concerned about the playoffs. I disagree with Paul. I feel like a team like the Ravens with their front seven, a bad matchup, and the Patriots also lay an egg in the playoffs. i.e. Jets and Ravens previously. Maybe I'm just nervous from the past track record in the playoffs to the Ravens, but as Paul said, they're not afraid of you. Thanks, Jake in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I understand why people would be concerned about Baltimore, because I think you saw a lot of signs of what I'm talking about today. You had opportunities to make plays today. In Miami, I think he was either unable to make them or they were afraid. And I don't think that will happen with Baltimore. I don't think they'll be afraid. I just don't think they're that good. You know, that front seven, like, who's in that front seven now? You know, and I understand they have good players, and Nada will be back for the playoffs coming off the suspension, and certainly will still have the high-test stuff in his system. And you'll have Doomerville and Suggs on the outside. From a man-to-man perspective, I don't think that they are that good. I do respect Baltimore. I respect their ability to show up and play a good road game in the playoffs and not be afraid. but I don't really respect their talent that much.
Yeah, I don't either, but I do respect their ability, as you said, to get in and like go on a little run.
Harbaugh's not punting on fourth and a blade of grass.
One of those teams that where they get in the playoffs and they're a low seed and they go on a little bit of a run once they get in because they've got some guys who have been there, they've got some guys with experience. They've got a quarterback who's won a Super Bowl, and so it knows what it's gonna take in the end, and you know, as you've said, they don't fear the Patriots and they don't fear coming here to play a game.
Jason, Nor should they.
Jason from Indiana writes, a big win for the Pats, 12 out of 14 years, AFC East champions. Do we think that mark will ever be beat? So I just want to say this. I don't think the players are all that excited about winning the AFC East.
No.
Like I've seen a lot of photos coming out of the locker room, and so far, of the players in the locker room, I've seen one photo of a player wearing that T-shirt, and it's Jonas Gray.
I think for guys like him, you have every right to be
excited. He's
never
experienced it.
A practice squad call-up bouncing around your third year. Who knows what you're going to ever have moving forward. What you've experienced already is not all that impressive. Enjoy it. And I think they enjoy it to a certain level, but you're right. A team that's been to three straight AFC title games, winning the AFC East is not, you know, real high on the overall list of goals. It's a first step. But it's only that. But I will say there are guys that I do think will cherish it and should. You know, Brandon LaFell, Brandon Browner, Revis. You have enough guys that are new, even all obviously the rookies and guys that are, you know, sort of taking on, you know, Chris Jones is taking on an even bigger role, or Alan Branch is here winning it. I think there are some guys it probably matters a lot to, some guys that it matters, but they know it's the first step. And by the way, when we were talking about Gostkowski earlier, 8 of 9, you know, Brady is technically, what, 12 of 13? The last.
Yeah, because the only year they didn't win it was the year he was hurt.
Right. Well, and
plus the one time that he didn't win it when he played.
But 12 of 13 is pretty good, too.
Because he's 12 of 14, and one of the years they didn't win it, he didn't play.
Right. So 12 of 13, you know. And if he puts him on eBay with his signature on it, they one up Gostkowski's on
eBay. Yep, definitely
the
do.
The price goes higher.
Bruce emails in with a link to a story that Belichick was called Doom down in New York.
Okay.
It was Doom.
So there you go. So you don't want to do Doom then, right?
I can be sold on either. The only thing I said about Boom was like you're kind of bringing Seattle to you type thing.
Yeah, well, that's what I didn't want. I didn't want to do the same thing as Seattle, but I don't know. It doesn't really. I mean, I think it's the same either way. Whatever one most people like. I think the Islanders the part that I was sort of thinking of.
Dr. Pepper writes in.
Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Hook.
He makes a solid soda. I like the diet version better. I like the weird versions too. You ever try those, like the vanillas and the cherry vanillas?
I have.
I've never had a Dr. Pepper in my life.
I don't love the plain, but the weird ones, vanillas and cherry vanillas, are really yummy.
Okay, let's get to Dr. Pepper.
Okay, we're gonna move on now because I'm the pro.
Why do they?
I don't want to have any fun.
I missed their ass.
Why do they do those stupid runs to Shane Vereen? He goes down with a fingernail. Wasted plays. Seen enough of it. Thanks, Dr. Pepper. He's down on Shane Vereen.
I know you guys always make fun of me for, like, throwing in random things.
That Brock Osweiler's playing?
Yeah, and you remember when I was joking with you, Beetle, about that block that Manning threw? I think he separated his shoulder. Well, Brock Osweiler is in the game for the Broncos.
Oh, wow, so he actually got hurt on that
play. There's 1:27 left in the half, so it's not like they're going to throw a Hail Mary and they wanted the guy with the big arm to throw it. There's time to run, have a drive here.
So Peyton Manning out of the game in San Diego. For the time
he's not in the game.
Right, he may return.
He's out of the game.
Yeah. At this point in time,
he's not out for the game. He's
out
of the game.
Yep. Thank you, Paul. Thank you for backing me up there.
Well, I just want to, in the NFL, some people say, you know, Kyle Arrington is now out of the game. I don't know where, but why aren't they showing any Peyton Manning anything?
Well, they were showing it earlier. Did you see the play?
No.
It was
where
run.
Is he now?
It was who ran it?
C.J. Anderson ran. He started out. Here
it is.
Right here. And watch, he's kind of like looks like he's not feeling great.
He didn't look good after he. That's not good.
What? He kind of pulled a Brady. He got caught in no man's land.
Well, I mean, he did. Listen, the play actually got called back, right, on a penalty?
Well, I think so it was overturned. I think they said he was in, and I think they reviewed it and said he didn't quite make the end zone.
It didn't end up being a touchdown, but Manning did help on
the guy
play.
Didn't even light him up as much as he could have. You know?
No, he didn't.
Manning half-drilled him in the chest. I think Manning set himself up to get hurt there.
Looking at the replay, it kind of looks like he might have gotten hit more in the chest than the shoulder, which might be better for him. You know, if like he had a bruise on his chest or something rather than a separated shoulder.
Thankfully, Brady avoided it, but I continue to say it's amazing. Like, Brady took a big hit today. He didn't get hurt, but he took a big hit today. And, of course, Manning has to take a big hit. Imagine the AFC playoff picture if Brady and Manning were both hurt. Like, you poop yourself. The whole, if you're the commissioner, what the hell do I have for a playoff picture now? Andrew Luck, the guy throws pick sixes more often than Matt Schaub.
Brady's big run, the 17-yard run, by the way.
What?
Brady's 17-yard run in this game?
Yeah.
Big play in this game.
Sure.
Big play.
Really?
Would have been a bigger
play. You didn't
think
so? It was a score like 38-13 at the time?
No.
Really?
It was, at that point in the game, was start
of the
third
quarter.
First
drive of the second half?
First drive of the second half.
Oh, 14-13.
It was 14-13.
My bad.
Third and 11.
All right, relax over there. I thought the game was over at that time.
You're poo-pooing it, Paul.
He's
edgy. I can't
today.
Have that.
He's edgy.
Yeah, he is. You're right. He is on edge.
Sometimes first, you're crusty. He's crusty.
First he drew.
I thought the game.
Crusty.
Jeez. Crusty.
First Woo! Drive of the third quarter.
Okay.
The third and 11. And he took off and ran for 17. Kept the drive alive. Next play.
By the way,
touchdown.
Kept the drive alive. I just thought that
set up
they had
the
already scored a couple of times in that.
No. Came out, got that thing started. Instead of having, you know, four and outs to start the second half,
well, there was
you had touchdown.
There was no possibility of a four and out. That I know because it almost was a touchdown. So they didn't go four and out whether you got the first down on that
you
or not.
I mean. Right. No punting there. Touchdown. Scoring. Touchdown.
Field goal. Would have been a field goal
yeah,
had he knocked
but
out
it was a touchdown.
Yards.
Thank you, Tom Brady. A lot of people saying the Bermuda Triangle would be a good one for Revis, Browner, and McCourty.
Yeah, I'm definitely not co-signing on that, especially off of today. I thought McCourty really struggled today.
The official word is that Manning's in the locker room with an undisclosed injury.
the old undisclosed injury. So they have no idea what they're looking at.
Somewhere, Fred Kirsch is just giddy. Jonas Gray came in late and ran well, and Manning's in the locker room. Fred Kirsch cannot contain himself right now. He has a tremendous.
Can you play that sound
snake. Richard.
Oh, I don't know if his Richard is tremendous, but I was going with the. Actually, it's the please.
I just meant, yeah.
That's okay.
That's what I meant.
Why don't we.
Our show should make Cox bigger.
Go back to the phones. Well, I don't even know why that would have been.
Cox saying. Cable.
Oh, Cox Cable.
Our TV show was Once Upon a Time not on Cox Cable, and he said it would be better for Cox Cable to have us on. We would make Cox bigger.
You're a Cox subscriber.
And as is always the case with PFW, that went on for a long time.
Cox is pretty big in Rhode Island, right?
Like, you know how we can be.
Yes, Isaac's in Fort Lauderdale. What's up, Isaac?
Hey, guys. What's up? What about the win?
What's that?
It's a tremendous win.
Hey, I heard you guys talking about names for the defense, so I had to call in. And
what do you got?
So, you know, I was thinking about the way the offense is in the NFL. Like, the league is made for these offenses to have so much success. So, I was thinking about the name for the defense. Like, what about the Justice League?
I don't love it. Yeah. Now, I get what you're doing there. The upcoming movie, soon to be Batman, Superman kind of thing. Superheroes, I see what you're doing, but...
don't love it.
I'm not sure there's a direct enough connection to any tangible player.
There's got to be an island involved. There has to be an island
well,
tie-in.
Well, because the island makes it all work. You take the island out, and it's just stupid.
Right. It's not.
So I think we need island. Island.
Island something.
I like Paul's.
Alex
island of Doom.
Is in Florida. Hey, Alex.
Or was it Doom
Hi,
Island?
Hi, how are you?
No, Island of
good,
Doom.
Good, what's going on?
Good. Of course, I'm very happy about the win, but I just wanted to touch on a couple points. I mean, first of all, if the teams that we have to play, which is the Bills, the Jets, and the Dolphins, are the teams that we keep saying that they've been all season, we should be beating them 41-13. So I'm happy that we won, but I'm also not going to praise them for something that they should be doing. If they're that much better and they're in the first place in the division for a reason, then they should be beating them 41-13, just like they should be beating the Jets and they should be beating the Bills. I just want to ask two questions. Do you think you can pinpoint what the issue has been with the offense? Because it seems like they went into the bye on fire. And then since they've come out of the bye, the offense has been a little off. And I was just wondering if you could, because I keep thinking about the playoffs. And I don't want to be one and done in the playoffs, which is like our thing. One and done, and losing the championship. I just keep thinking we should meet the Dolphins like we beat them today, but we would not beat who we would be beating in the playoffs, playing the way we played today. In, at least in the first half. And then my second question is, could you just go over, like, some scenarios if we lose one or both of the remaining games. I just want to get an idea of where we would end up.
Well, it's kind of impossible to know because you got to know what other teams
right.
are doing.
If the Patriots yeah. lose a game and Denver does not, then they would lose the number one seed. But there's a lot of different permutations that go along, you know.
Especially with Peyton Manning getting looked at in the
right.
locker room.
Peyton Manning is right now out of the game for Denver, and I don't know what happened at the end of the half there, how San Diego got the ball inside the 10, because Denver had the ball, they kicked the ball. Maybe they got the punt blocked.
I can tell you.
It was a catch and throw there, right? No, it was a big play.
Osweiler got called for intentional grounding, which pushed him back.
That happened. It was fourth down.
Eddie Royal had like a 50-yard punt return.
Okay,
that was a punt return.
The intentional grounding didn't have anything to do with it.
I saw Royal going down the field making a big play.
Okay.
Okay, good. John's in New Jersey. He's up next on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
I love your idea for the name. I think you have to put Island in there. I think Island of Doom is perfect. And there's so many other things you can play off of too. You could have Belichick, you could be Dr. Doom. Like the rest of the players on defense could be the ministers of Doom. You could have like Wilford could be Big Daddy Doom.
I like it.
That's good.
I like it. The Doom Squad.
And then I have a separate question for you. How would you guys manage the last two games of the year? Just assume they have home field wrapped up before the last game.
I don't think they're going to. That's the problem. I don't think they're going to have home field wrapped up going into the last game.
Well, again, if they were to beat the Jets next week, which is eminently possible.
Yeah, that won't wrap up home field.
If Denver loses today.
If Denver loses today, but they're winning.
Right, but I mean, yeah, I'm saying, but if that happened, I mean, I wouldn't have the big three anywhere near the stadium on the last game of the season.
But he doesn't do that. He plays them a cameo or
a half.
Now, assuming they're healthy, I always say that. I don't know what their health is going to be. If, you know, if Gronk has a deep thigh bruise coming off today or something, mm-hmm. that'll play into it. But I think he'll play them for a little while, you know, get them some reps. He seems to err on the side of not wanting rust. You know, the whole rust versus rest thing we always debate, he has always seemed to err when they have the bye of wanting to play them a little bit.
Well, believe me, I know. I just every time I think about that, I just picture Wes Welker going down.
I hear you. Because if one of the three goes down, your chances go down.
Yeah, I am totally with you.
If you're only going to play him for a series or two, how much rust are you knocking off in a series?
You know what? I'm totally with you.
But I think he buys into the whole preparation. Like, he thinks if you get ready to play a game, it's almost as important as actually playing the game.
You know, and I think we lost Paul. He might have lost his cell.
Well,
I started to think of how I was going to tiptoe into it, but I'm 100% with John on this. Don't bother playing them at all. If the only reason is just knocking the rust off, because A, I don't think they play enough to quote knock the rust off, and B, that way you don't have to blame the field when you lose a key player on offense. When you know, like, it's a conspiracy. It wasn't because I played him in a meaningless game in a meaningless time of the game. It was because the field wasn't in proper condition, and we'll blame that for Wes Welker getting hurt and missing the playoff game. I'm with John 100%. Either play them or don't play them, whatever you decide you want to do. But I think it just doesn't make any sense to have it be, we're going to play them for a quarter and have them knock the rust off and all that stuff. I don't like that.
And couldn't you, no one knows. I'm sure Brady would be expecting to play. So couldn't you, if you think the preparation is key, just make them warm up, do everything, and then tell them they're not playing? Right? I mean, wouldn't you get your purposes out of the game preparation aspect of it?
Sure.
Because they're going to assume they're playing, because more often than not, they've played. So I think you could get that. Whereas it's not like, you know, when he does it in the preseason, they all know they're not going to play. Even if he tells them to pretend you're going to play, they know they're not playing.
Yep.
This one, they might think they're actually playing, and then you go, okay, you guys are done. You know, go to the box, luxury box, and watch, whatever.
Broncos say Manning probable to return in the game.
Well, that's going to take away a little of the drama that we just sort of developed.
Yeah. But it was fun for a couple of minutes, was it not?
Hey,
so what
I already think that he is not feeling great.
It says here, receiving IV treatment.
IV?
Peyton Manning in Denver locker room receiving IV treatment.
Yeah, it says he's having like flu-like symptoms.
Oh.
Oh, he's sick.
So it has nothing to do with that play.
Absolutely nothing to do with that hit.
That's garbage.
Come on.
That's garbage.
See, I think
Belichick would be very proud of John Fox right now.
This is what I was thinking.
This is crap.
That is complete garbage.
Remember when Gronk left with dehydration?
He's got flu-like symptoms, and the thing that sent him to the locker room was getting hit in the chest. That is Bill Belichick right now.
Well, it dislodged some phlegm or something. It got a little mixed up.
He's a little Mucinex or something.
Yeah,
out
the
there.
Little green guy needs to run it into his job.
Wow, would they be proud of John Fox right now? Somewhere Bill Belichick has got a smile on his face.
I doubt it.
IV fluids.
I'll take the field.
Good point, Clue.
James in Australia. You're up next. Hey, James.
Good morning, guys. What a way to start off about 8 weeks of holiday for me.
8 weeks?
Yeah, we've worked close for 2 weeks over Christmas and New Year, and then I'm spending 6 weeks going around the USA and hopefully coming to visit you guys.
Nice!
8 weeks.
That's a good gig if you can get it.
So,
holy vacation.
So when you say 2 weeks for holiday for the, you know, your company or whatever, is that everyone in Australia? Is that like a nationwide type of thing?
No, it's just something that the place I work for does because we coach little kids in soccer. So,
okay.
It's closed over Christmas and runs on school terms.
Very good. It's a good gig.
Yeah, so hopefully I'll be able to swing by and bring PFW guys lunch.
There you go.
Nice.
That's what I like to hear.
Well, I know that's what it's going to take to get an audience. So.
Yep.
I was thinking about the nickname for the secondary, and given Browner's habit of picking up penalties, would Flag Island be inappropriate?
Yes.
Someone emailed in.
We had three today.
Lord of the Laundry.
So I was thinking, what would you be saying if you were Belichick in the locker room right now trying to get them focused for next week against the Jets? Would you point out their exceeding expectations so far by scoring 3 points?
My guess is that all he'll do is just say, this is the Jets. And if that should have the Patriots' undivided attention. They hate the Jets. Right?
Yeah,
that's a pretty bad team, and I get what you're saying, but it's still the Jets. So I think that helps you get motivated for that game. And then Buffalo just beat Green Bay, so that one's an easy one for the last game. Right?
Yeah, well, hopefully that's it. Yeah, hopefully they can get the 2 wins and get the first round bye, because that'll be if they get that, it'll be the weekend I'm in Boston. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. Anyway, I just thought I'd call and bring the nickname and whatnot and chat to you guys later.
All right.
Thanks, James.
Thanks, James. See
appreciate
you soon.
Checking in.
Don't work too hard. I know you won't.
855-PATS-500, the phone number, 855-PATS-500. Open phone lines for you right now. If you want to jump on board, give us some of your post-game thoughts. We need to hear from the head coach of the Patriots. That would be one Mr. Bill Belichick. He stepped to the podium after the game, and here's what he had to say.
Well, it's always good to be able to walk up here after we've won an AFC championship, AFC East championship, so... good feeling today. I think our guys really finished the game strong. 27-0 in the second half. Didn't play very well in the first half, obviously. But they did a good job in the second half, and we're able to get some points on the board, get a little momentum, get some turnovers. Dan had a good plan, a punt return, set us up in good field position. We were able to hit some bigger plays, so it was a good second half. Played 30 minutes of good football offensively, and had our moments on defense and special teams in the first half. But it's good to be in this position, and hopefully we can play our best football going forward. That'll be our goal.
Chandler Jones back today. Just wondering what you thought of his performance.
It was good to have him back. He's practiced a little bit. Kind of sparingly the last couple of weeks, and then this week he was able to take a lot of reps, and certainly looked like he was ready to go from a practice standpoint, a conditioning standpoint. I'd say this week he kind of looked like Silver looked last week relative to being ready. Different play styles, I'm not saying that, but so it was good to get him back out there.
Bill, over here, what are your thoughts on started everything. Tom Brady's nice run, 17 yards, and he got hit as he was going out of bounds. Seemed like
it
lit a fire on the offense.
I thought it was a good run. It was a third and long play, third and nine, third and ten, whatever it was. Did a good job of seeing that in the pass rush. It's something we've talked about this week. You know, he made a big play on that last year against them, like on a 4th and 5 or 4th and 4 or something like that. Where he had a, you know, scramble play in that situation. So, alert play on his part, and you know, it was a key first down for us. And then we were able to, you know, punch it in after that. But at that point in the game, it was a, it was a big third down conversion. One that you usually don't expect to get that way, but the heads up play on his part ran well. Yeah, you know, Jamie continues to make big plays for us. You know, on the defensive side of the ball and in the kicking game, you know, he's got real good length for a linebacker, tall with long arms, great jumping ability. So his ability to knock down passes and, you know, reach into passing lanes or block a kick in this case, very obviously athletic. We all know that. And he just keeps playing faster and faster each week, it seems like. You know, he gets a key and he's able to make plays, whether it be in the kicking game or, you know, running through, make tackles for loss in a running game, or tackles in the open field, on receivers and back. So he's playing well, and strung together quite a few weeks here of good football for us.
So with Chandler back, how do you like the pass rushes coming together the final month of the season?
Well, we'll see. You know, it was certainly, you know, good opportunity for us to rush in a game where we're, you know, ahead in the second half. You know, it wasn't the case in the first half, and we didn't generate that same kind of pressure. So I think the score had a lot to do with it. And we rushed well when we had the opportunity. I mean, it was kind of the reverse of the game down there when they got ahead and put pressure on us. Then today we got ahead, and, you know, they had a hard time blocking our pass rush. So I think the score has, and the situation has a lot to do with that. But, of course, it's good to have them back out there. It's good to get Siliga back last week. It's good to get Chandler back this week. You know, hopefully that'll just make us stronger going forward.
You talk about making plays on all three bases of the game. You talk about play of Kyle Harrington, Mayer, the score.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good, I mean, that's kind of what the outside guys are looking for, is they're looking for a block to put themselves in a position, which he did, to be able to attack the ball. And, you know, it's the kind of situation where there really aren't too many guys on the other side of the ball that can tackle or are very good tacklers. So if you can just get it up and get going, a bunch of offensive linemen, a couple specialists. So, you know, Kyle's a fast guy. Once he got a little bit of space, you know, I don't think there's too many guys who are going to run him down. But it's a good – he did his job. He was in position and took advantage of the opportunity and turned it into points. So it's heads-up play.
You've had two great kickers your whole tenure here, and we all know about Adam. Can you talk about, I guess, today Stephen broke the all-time scoring record for the Patriots, probably outside.
Keeping game. Graham out of there?
Excuse me?
Keeping Shane out of there.
And just talk a little bit about Stephen. I know outside maybe an underrated Patriot, not inside, but obviously one of the most consistent players you have. Just talk a little bit about Stephen.
Yeah, Steve's done a great job for us. You know, we all know that this area of the country and this division is certainly not the easiest to kick in. And, you know, he does a very good job of handling the conditions. He's got a good legs. He's got good range on kickoffs and long field goals. That's good height on the ball. Good team player. He's always there to support his teammates. Everybody in the locker room likes him. He has a good rapport with everybody. So you're right. So I've been really lucky. Adam, Steve, I mean, Shane came in here, didn't miss a kick the half a year that he kicked or whatever it was, and Steve. So those guys have, since I've been here, they've all done a great job. But Steve is, you know, those are big shoes to follow there with Adam. And but he's never blinked. He's always kicked with a lot of confidence, a lot of poise, a lot of focus. And, you know, he's kicked with a lot of different holders, different snappers. Not the easiest conditions, but you know, he does his job. He's very focused, and he's been a really dependable player for us. And I love having him on the team. He's a great asset to this football team, both on and off the field, locker room, and productively when we need him, of course.
Bill, over here. What does it mean to you to be in the same sentence as Curly Lambeau with 229 career victories combined?
regular season, postseason tied for fourth all time.
Thanks, Mike. I mean, it's flattering, very flattering. You know, Curley was one of the great founders, really, of the National Football League. You know, spent the year at Notre Dame, brought the Notre Dame offense into the NFL, ran the box, had championships in Green Bay, really kind of started the passing game with Hudson and Cecil. So he was certainly one of the not only one of the founding fathers of the league, but really one of the innovators in the league in his time. So very flattering to be put in his category in any sentence, really.
People so often talk about what happens at the end of the half to be a momentum builder. I'm just looking, just obviously a key juncture. They get it to 14-13, they're probably feeling pretty good about themselves at halftime. You get the ball and have the most convincing and efficient drive that you had in the game. And I just wonder from a fan's perspective, or a media's perspective, we wonder what goes into that, why the switch gets flipped, what happens.
I mean, what happened was we didn't play very well in the first half, and then we didn't play very well in the last, I don't know, 40 seconds or a minute or however much it was. So we just took some not very good football and made it worse. And then we were able to do things a lot better in the second half. So, but I think that whole sequence was just symptomatic of the whole rest of the half. I mean, what was the difference?
Okay. Welcome back to the Xbox Hi. One Patriots post game show. How'd you like that last question from
the long winded one?
Your
from
buddy,
Tom Curran?
Your buddy there.
I don't know. We could discuss it, but he wrote in a mailbag this week. I'm the person he most avoids in the press box.
That's pretty good.
He bleeping hates me.
Yeah, I can tell.
I don't hate him, but
I can tell. Steve's in Killeen.
I don't hate people that are overly sensitive.
Steve, what's up?
Not much, fellas. I'm just excited. The Aussies are coming, bringing food. So, you know, I've already done a preemptive strike. Bye week, the next bye week that we go to, guys, we're doing the barbecue blowout. I got it. Lock it in. It's done.
Lock it in. Lock I love in. Barbecue, and I love blowouts, baby.
And I like hearing lock it in.
And my favorite listener, Steve and Killeen, unless somebody wants to one-up
it. He's up there. Steve is up there.
Well, I can be bought, so I just have, like, an auction here.
That's
somebody
why,
one-ups it.
That's why he's up there, idiot.
Do I hear a laptop? Anyone to buy? I want to buy a laptop. Anybody get a free car for me, an RV for next year?
I'm surprised Andy didn't hook up with the guy that won the mill. You know, show a little love there, brother.
And apparently he's from my area. He's down by New Bedford near me.
That's what I'm saying. He's probably already moved out by now.
And based on his reaction, he probably already has money because he didn't seem all that excited to win $1 million. He just kind of took
well,
it in stride.
I got to tell you, I saw it, and when it happened, I thought, this guy is cool as a cucumber. Like, what? You
I would have run around screaming.
I would have lost my mind. Right. And I talked to Jackie Britton, who was down on the field with him, and she said she thinks he was in shock.
She he said, was actually hospitalized
she goes, he was so stunned by it that he was, like, in shock and didn't know how to react because he was just so –
Now,
couldn't believe it.
Was this real, or did he know he was – like?
No, totally real.
Like, he have won – what was the low end?
I think it was in the thousands, but it was certainly wasn't $1 million.
Not all of them had $1 million in there.
No, not even close from what I understand.
Thanks, Steve. We look forward to barbecue blowout, baby.
All right, no problem.
Wait, what if they don't get a bye?
Our offense got over their jet lag, and we actually got the 40 burger.
So were you legitimately worried in the first half, or was the they'll get it going?
All right, man. I was a little worried, but you know, I'm going. We'll see. The first drive of the second half was what basically I said. Okay, we're good now. It's just. Seeing that consistency of the drive and, you know, the fact that the offense pinned their ears back and just punched them in the mouth. And Freddie's boy, Greg, coming out there, pounding the rock, all looked good.
That's right.
The rock's finally getting involved for you, Andy, and the kittens. So, you know, it's all good, man.
Wait a minute. He wasn't finally getting involved. He was finally getting involved because Brady finally started hitting him. He was wide open. He had a bomb down the left side that if Brady had a little more caca on it, it would have caught there.
Yeah. A little more pudding, a little more cacao, a little more ice cream, avocado, whatever that stuff is that he eats. Steve and Killeen, thank you as always.
Brian, Steve, man.
Brian's in Connecticut. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. So one thing that you guys talked about earlier was being worried about the Seahawks versus the Packers. And I 100% agree, because I have not liked what I've seen from the offensive line lately. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I think that today was another one of those days there was a little bit more pressure around Brady. I don't think he even got sacked at all today, but he's taken a lot of hits and he's had a lot of guys around him. But the whole Green Bay-Seattle thing, I just want to, in full disclosure, was a little bit tongue-in-cheek on my part. I'm not necessarily breaking down the potential Super Bowl opponents. I do believe that Seattle's better than Green Bay, so I'd rather play
Green Bay. I've come to believe that as well.
In the Super Bowl, even though Seattle is losing at home to San Francisco as we speak.
Dynasty derailed.
Okay, but Seattle's but defense is,
I'm just
is
saying, like, I mean, to
so
talk about,
good yet again.
To talk about Super Bowl matchups, I think at this point, a little bit premature. So I don't think so, Paul. I do want to reiterate
this
that
is,
I was being somewhat tongue-in-cheek with that.
We have fun. We talk about things that are down the road, and who knows if they'll ever actually happen.
It doesn't even matter if we dub them a name. I mean, that doesn't matter either, but we're having fun with that.
Right.
Island of Doom, thanks to you, Paul Perillo. Your greatest contribution in the history of PFW.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate the call.
Right up there with giving you a job.
I'll tell Fred that you do the hiring.
Hey, if you're looking for one of those T-shirts, you should gear up for the season.
I did that one.
And shop the Patriots Pro Shop for the widest selection of jerseys, hats, tees, and more. And, of course, Andy, the AFC East Champion T-shirts that are going to be available soon.
Which are officially supported by Stephen Gostkowski as the best ones they've had.
He likes them. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium and Pro Shop Collection at Patriot Place, are open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. And I suggest you check out PatriotsProShop.com, because I know there's some extended hours that they've worked in during the holiday season as well on some select days. So check that out, PatriotsProShop.com.
Oh, I got a chance now.
And by the way, you know those hats that I talked about like a month ago? I said, oh, I like
they're
that
sold
hat.
Sold out, yeah.
You can't find those hats anywhere.
Going for apparently big money on eBay.
Yeah, like $70 on eBay if you want
so
one of those
pony
hats.
Up. You want a hat? Go get it.
Oh, I can wait. I'll wait for them to
it's
make
kind of like if the Red Sox wanted John Lester, pony up and go get it. Or you're going on the cheap.
But that would be the equivalent of saying, but if you wait a month or so to sign John Lester, you can get him at your lousy 4-70 offer. Right? Not cheaping out. I just know that I can wait.
There's also, it's ridiculous because you know there's other hats that are they're the exact same thing with just like a different color scheme.
Yeah.
You can
the
get
one
those.
I really like is the one with the throwback logo with the Pat Patriot.
Oh, I think you can get that one in the Pro Shop still.
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, I thought that one was still available. I thought it was just the on-field one that was not available.
Well, they're both considered on-field. Both of them are. It's the same hat with each logo. It's the same exact hat, two different logos. Yeah, you can't get them. I wish I could. I'd buy one. So, yeah, we got to wait for more of those to be made. The Pro Shop, I've spoken to the people over at the Pro Shop. They're efforting that. They're waiting for the manufacturer to send them more.
They have, sorry to confuse you. Logan Ryan just tweeted out a photo of all the defensive backs wearing the championship T-shirts.
Good. So some people are celebrating.
And I retweeted it and said Island of Doom, but I say we put that on the cover of PFW right there, that photo, Island of Doom.
That's how you start.
All the DBs.
Is that how it starts?
That is how it starts.
Andy, are you going to make me famous?
I don't know.
Yeah,
probably
this
not.
Goes bad, though. I don't want you. He'll be making fun of me.
No, the best part is when Belichick calls Fred. Listen, we're really giving nicknames to bleeping defense. We're trying to win football games
here. Just get 400 yards today.
Got the team undercutting the defensive effort. And all of a sudden I go, Bill,
it was
all
Paul's idea.
Idea.
Everything else is my fault anyway.
And you should hear why he went with Doom. He thought Parcells called you Doom.
No.
Which it turns out he did. Which turns out was the right word.
It was all about not wanting to copy Seattle.
Let's take our final time out here on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. When we come back, we'll hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. That's next.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No, pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Yeah.
Join Mark, Andy, and Paul by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or get in touch with the show via email at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. And your host, Mark the Beetle Bertrand.
Well, I thought that was done. Went a little premature there.
Premature hostulation.
Hello. Hello. It's usually the opposite. I usually give it a little space to breathe.
Oh, we've noticed.
But we've only got 10 minutes left in the show, so I want to make good use of all the minutes left.
Well,
I'll tell
you. Thank you for that.
Island of Boom is...
Doom! Stop it! See, if you confuse it, that ruins it. It has to be consistent.
Island of Doom.
Island of
is
Doom.
Taking off on Twitter.
And Island of Doom took a picture. There's a group photo. Logan Ryan tweeted out. I retweeted it. Hashtag Island of Doom. But all the defensive
it's a bit
backs.
Misleading.
What?
The Island of Doom. They took a picture of it? No, they took a picture together and you put that on it.
Hey,
and guess what? I'm going to try to convince Fred to put that picture on the cover of Patriots Football Weekly and put Island of Doom.
And Fred will say, I don't get it.
I'll say,
because
I hate you.
Because I came up with it. If you came up with it, it'd be like, I like it.
Oh, now Paul. Paul. He likes Andy's ideas.
Guys,
he likes Paul's ideas.
Guys,
he has to admit that he has taken it as sport.
There's a problem with this. Andy, click on the hashtag Island of Doom.
Oh, Christ.
I swear to God, I didn't know.
What is it?
Other Patriots fans have been tweeting hashtag Island of Doom as early as August.
Okay, there you go.
Oh. Well, that's what Paul
Here's
does.
A tweet from Pats Fan Speak on Twitter. Happy birthday to Brandon Browner. Keep the boom coming, big guy. And then it's hashtag Island of Doom, not boom.
He said boom, not
no,
doom.
No, but his hashtag is Island of Doom.
Okay, well, it's good.
On
just because Paul stole it doesn't mean it's not good.
Another tweeter.
Can I just tell you that the proof that I didn't steal it would be that it was on, what was that?
August 2nd.
No. Where was it from?
Oh, some Patriots random fan, Patriot fan Twitter account.
That I mean, that's the proof that I didn't steal it.
Is that what you're going with, Dane? Dane Cook?
I knew what you were referring to.
I like that.
What is today? Week
15? Beetle didn't give me the reaction I wanted to. I had to add the Cook.
It's not the brightest
bulb. We say Dane. Dane who? Like, what?
Well, he's a notable Steeler.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, I know
he's
that.
Notorious.
Once you said Dane Cook, I knew exactly what
Paul
you meant.
Knew.
He's notorious, and I know nothing.
Yeah.
All right.
Except the lyrics to a 90s song.
When you say Dane, I don't automatically think of Dane Cook.
There's
Sorry.
A driver, take my keys to my truck. Just fade it.
All right.
This is how we do it.
Have some bacon.
Oh, Kev's eating bacon. Let's get to Tom Brady, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, after the game.
Lowering the shoulder down the sideline.
Oh, sorry.
Your team looked so bad in the first half, and come out and looked so good in the second half. How do you flip the switch the way you did?
It's a great question. I wish I knew the answer because we would have started that way then. We tried to start fast and got the ball down the field, and then the ball got tipped, intercepted. So just didn't quite go the way we wanted to in the first half, but we did a good job responding. So it was a good win. Great win.
So over here to your right, that 17-yard run in the second half, it seemed like it lit a fire under the guys. Was that kind of the message you were sending on getting in on that run out of bounds?
Yeah, well, I think it was a play we needed to make, so it was good to, make it at that time. Yeah, I was going to slide, but I was pretty pissed off at that time, so I figured I wouldn't slide, and wish I wouldn't have got knocked down, but that's the way it goes.
Did you think getting that hit, though, lit the guys up a little bit?
I think the touchdown did, more so on the next play. That was, a great run, but... it's just whatever it takes. I think that's what matters. And I think, all our guys responded the way we wanted to. And it was good to go in there and finish them off like we did.
Tom, you said you guys, I'm right over here. You said you were pretty pissed off. And I'm looking back at maybe the Cincinnati game as well after a week of scrutiny where you came out and had a tremendous drive at the beginning of the half and you figured prominently in that. You play well, pissed off, it seems. Does it filter down to the rest of the offense when you're playing less than optimum? And do you feed off of that?
Yeah, but I think you're going to have times where you play less than optimum. Because if you played optimal all the time, you'd score 75 points a game, which is impossible. So you're going to have stretches where you get stopped on third down or you don't convert plays you should have. And then I just think it's always good to come reassess where we're at. And I know... we were all pretty pissed off at halftime. Just wasn't the way that you know, we 25 plays on offense and terrible with time possession, terrible on third down. You know, just didn't do anything to help our team win. So I thought we did a better job coming out there in the second half, and aided by some turnovers by our defense, which our defense has just been playing incredible, which is what we're going to need. So, you know, I'm glad we started to, you know, earn our paycheck there in the second half. So it was good to be able to do it. It was a good feeling. You know, we still have some opportunity out there.
You just want to follow a seed throw to Gronk, which you're able to make with regularity. Is that a play that you guys consider just a bread and butter?
Yeah, I wish I'd make the other throws look like that too. So, you know, he's a big target, and he makes it easy for me. So he's just awesome.
Back to the 17-yard run. Clarification. You said you didn't slide because you didn't want to. I mean, did it occur to you at first, like, oh, I got to slide? I just assumed you ran out of room. You couldn't slide.
No, I could have slid. but I wasn't in the best mood that time. I think it was a bigger guy. I would have thought really hard about sliding. But, you know, once I was in the secondary and, you know, things happened pretty quick for me out there. I'm not the fastest guy out there, so things closed down pretty quick.
Did anybody say on the sideline afterwards, okay, slide next time, or does that come up tomorrow? Or?
Probably tomorrow. Yeah, probably tomorrow. But it was a big third down, and I think it was at that time of the game where we needed to make some big third downs. You know, the guys gave me great protection, and they tried to, you know, what they've done to us a few times is tried to rush three and double cover some guys, and I think I was pretty keyed in on that today and try to take advantage of it when they did it. And I thought we did a better job than we've done the past few times we played them.
Tom, your thoughts on winning the division? Well, we got two microphones.
There you go.
You're in second row first.
Yeah. Thanks. Tom, in a game where you're struggling to put points on the board and get a rhythm on offense, how big was it for the defense to come up big, get a couple of turnovers, and really sort of turn defense into offense for you guys?
It was huge. It was what really kept us in the game, because we weren't doing much offensively, and they really did that last week too. And they got a, you know, we got a really good defense, so it's good to see. It's good to see. You know, there's pressure to score every time we get the ball, and that's what we're trying to do. But it's also a good feeling knowing that, you know, if you have to punt, you know, you got a defense that's not going to give up points too easily. Last one, I'm going home.
Tom, you have dominated this division throughout your career. Well, just as Green Bay goes to Buffalo, they can see that. Could you talk about your thoughts on winning it as often as you have? And do you think maybe fans have gotten a little spoiled or taken for granted almost?
Well, I think it's a every year is a different year for us, and every year we have a great opportunity to try to accomplish something. It doesn't start, you know, this morning. It started back in March. So it's a lot of hard work that goes into it, and I don't think, you know, you ever take winning for granted. I certainly don't, because I know how hard it is to win. I think we appreciate it. I also know that we have, you know, big goals, you know, every year for our team. So this is the one that is the first one to get. And it was great to be able to do it against a team that we lost to early in the year. We had a great opportunity to go out there and play a lot better than we did the last time. So it's great to win. It's a great feeling. That's why we play. And I've been very fortunate to be a part of an organization where that's really what matters the most. And to play with some really great players over the years, I think that's winning and experiencing it with the players and coaches and Mr. Kraft and Jonathan and his family. And it's pretty awesome. Thank you.
Patriots quarterback Tom Brady after the win. Want to remind you that the Microsoft Surface is the official tablet of the NFL. NFL coaches and players across the league use their Surface tablets to influence the next big play call. And with a Surface tablet at home, you can do the same in your fantasy league. Surface, trusted by the NFL, built for the fans. Next week for the Patriots, after capturing the AFC East this weekend, is the New York Jets at MetLife Stadium. Two games left, one on the road coming up against the Jets, one at home on the 28th against the Buffalo Bills. So two more games to go for the Patriots. We're keeping an eye on the Jets game right now. And it's a comedy of errors. It really is. And so it's now an
couple teams slugging it out, yeah. Battle of doubles.
They just got into a huge brawl on the field with the Titans.
Three field goals and a safety.
It's now an 8-3 game, Tennessee with the lead. I think going into next week, is a game everybody expects the Patriots to win.
Third down and less than a yard, you should never have Geno Smith in an empty backfield in the shotgun format.
Probably not.
Well,
the
best he's shown flashes of being a Pro Bowl quarterback at times in his career.
That is true. Said no one other than Geno Smith.
So early thoughts, that should be a win next week, right?
Yes, and it should even be easier than this week. If they are in a 14-13 ball game at the half, I know it's the Jets, I know they play you tough, all that crap, whatever. You should beat them. I agree. Who called up earlier and said, was it Alex? You know, it's hard to praise them for doing what we expect them to do. It's good. Take care of business. But I'm not going to, you know, rub you down after you take care of an inferior opponent.
True. Very true.
And the Jets are rolling, baby.
And son of a bitch, they had him in a shotgun in an empty formation on 4th and inches, and they scored.
Unbelievable.
Jets 9, Titans 8, PAT pending.
What a game. It's like a baseball score.
This game's up to the bullpens now.
At one point, I looked over, and I go, hey, it's a 5-3 game.
You could see a positional player have to throw in this game.
So we've got that coming up next Sunday for you, Patriots.
Big story to monitor
is
Peyton Manning, though.
Yeah, what's going on there?
Oh, we'll see.
He was back in the game. He's back for the Broncos. I almost said Colts. He's back on the field for the Broncos.
It happens.
And we'll see what his situation is. Was it really the flu, or was it getting hit in the chest?
But the real question is, come postseason, would he be ready for the Island of Doom?
All right, very good. For Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, our producer Kevin Collins, we'll join you again next week right here on Patriots.com as we get ready for the game. Another 1 o'clock start, so another 10:45 a.m. start for the pregame show. I'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.
This has been the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com radio.
Out of the I formation with Devil in the fullback for Ridley, who takes the handoff, started up the middle, runs it right. A foot race to the five. Ridley's going to win it to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Next Sunday, the Patriots are in the Big Apple to take on the New York Jets. Kickoff is set for 1 p.m. Be sure to log on to Patriots.com to tune into the Xbox One Patriots postgame show immediately following the game.
Brady with a check with on a 3rd and 4 from the 10. Brady in the pocket. Has time to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots! Edelman has it!
For more news, analysis, and reaction to today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of the Xbox One Patriots postgame show.